All right, this is Bucks Kickoff. I'm Rock Riley, and I am on the biggest, baddest, best website when it comes to Buccaneer news information. It is your source. You go to joebucksfan.com first. Happy to be with the boys. Sage, the Joes, let's do this thing. It is the Bucks. It is the Cleveland Browns. It really is the last chance. This is it. Most likely the Browns season is over. But when you look at it and look at the numbers, they're 3-7. They lose this one. They go 3-8. The season is over. You got Jacoby Brissett, who is really playing for his NFL life. Because remember, this is the last start that he's going to have. You get Deshaun Watson now is going to be the quarterback for the rest of the way. And he is not going to give up his gig. So for Jacoby Brissett, who is decent, he's looking to make his mark to stay in the NFL to prove that he can play quarterback in this league. It is a big one for him. For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they won two in a row. They're feeling better, but they're not all just slam dunk confident. You know, they say that they're feeling they're confident, but I'm in the locker room, and I was there this week, and I'm watching and looking into the eyes of these guys when we're talking to them and listening to them, and they know they're a 500 team. They're 5-5. But what have you done for me lately? That was their best game in Munich against the Seahawks. You could make an argument, maybe their opening game against the Dallas Cowboys, but that was so long ago. What have you done for me lately? And they are feeling better. They're starting to get healthy now. Brady had a great point. I was in the room there with Brady when he was saying, when you're 12 games in, you know, you kind of know now. You know where you are. You know who you are. And the rest of the way, being in it as long as he has, a lot of teams get worse. Like this could be the case for like the Cleveland Browns. When you're just about out of it, you get worse. Or teams get better. And he wasn't saying, well, we're definitely going to be the better this and that. He goes, we have to do what we did in Seattle, we got to do it again. And we got to do it again. And, you know, you got to block, you got to tackle, you got everything, all the basics. Like, he takes it just quarter by quarter, play by play. So, yeah, it was great. And, yeah, boy, when they had that five game, they had lost 5 out of 6. Now they are getting back in rhythm in the last 2 wins. But when you look at it, the Bucs beat the Rams and the Seahawks. And they had the bye, and they needed that bye after the long trip to Munich. So you would think that they would be feeling good, and they are feeling good. But again, I just get that sense being there at $1. Like, they know that they could lose to Cleveland, you know, and they're not going to take them lightly. Would this be a trap game? Could this be considered a trap game? Especially when you got Monday Night Football against the Saints after this, and then you got the 49ers after that, and then you got the Bengals after that. Yeah. This could be a trap game. But that's not their mindset. And they know that they got a very good rushing attack. And so we'll see. We will see. Also, it is supposed to be in the 50s. There could be inclement weather. There's going to be wind. There could be a little bit of rain. The Buccaneers, I'll tell you what, they do not practice outside when it rains. They've got this beautiful indoor facility, the Advent Health Training Center. It's gorgeous. It's natural, obviously. It's the fake turf. But I guess they don't want a chance a guy slipping, maybe getting a groin pull or something like that. So when it gets rainy or when it gets wet, they head inside. So and even Bowles admitted, like, you can't simulate 50s, windy, rainy. But we're not going to let that be an excuse. And they shouldn't. They've got a really good sports science staff. They study all this stuff. But the Bucs aren't used to it. If it's kind of nasty weather, they're not used to that. So kind of keep that in mind. You know, Cleveland... There are times when they look pretty good. All right, let's go back to this last game against the Bills. This was the game that they had to move because of all the snow in Buffalo, so they had to play it at Ford Field inside. The Browns were throttling. I was watching this game, and they were throttling the Bills in the first half. Then the Browns defense, they blew that coverage on Stephon Diggs. He was wide open. back of the end zone. Blown coverage, 5-yard touchdown, and then the Bills just ran it down Cleveland's throat. The Browns' rush defense sucks. They're bad. They're 28th in yards per carry allowed, and they're 21st in total rushing yards. So this would be, if there's a time for the Buccaneers to run it, I mean, the Bucs ran for 161 in that game in Munich, you know, and mostly with Rashad White. I talked to him, and I got a question into him. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But they ran it, and they're going up against a Browns team that is not good against the run. The other thing, too, the Buccaneers were just so good on third down. They converted on third down, and it was third, a lot of short third downs. What a difference that makes. It wasn't third and 11, but the Bucs converted on third down. Brady also, he is getting time now. The Nick Leverett. By the way, Luke Gedeki is out. Gedeki, he's out. And I know Bowles is like, well, we're going to try to get him back. No, you got Leverett. You got Hainsey. All right. Shaq Mason. Tristan Wirfs. Donnie on the other side, the left tackle side, who hasn't been all that great, but has been getting it done. He said it's just a communication. That's how it is for, you know, with the linemen. It's a whole huge communication deal. And you got to play. That takes time, man. When you're playing with the same guys on the offensive line, they know. Sometimes they don't have to say anything. They know exactly what the guy next to him is going to do. It might even be just a look in the eye. And that comes over time, and they're getting that right now. Do you know that Brady was not sacked in Munich? And when you give Brady a little bit of time to see the field, he is going to chop you up. He is going to check that. He is going to hit the open man. He's going to move the chains. You just got to give him the time, and then Brady gets in that rhythm. So that was really good. But I know the Browns are 3-7. I know they've lost 6 out of their last 7. I know, but it's also the NFL. This is the Browns, their last home game that they played here. On the river, in this game, they beat the Bengals 32-13. That was just a couple of weeks ago. And what's really strange is the Bucs are so good this year against NFC teams. Do you know they're 5-2 against NFC teams, and they're 0-3. They're a big donut against AFC teams. They lost to the Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Ravens. And so you got this, the Cleveland Browns team. Look, I mean, if the Buccaneers are going to get into the playoffs and want to advance past the first round on most likely the GOATs last year, you got to win this game against Cleveland. I don't want you're one game below 500. You know, you got to win this game. All right. Oh, as far as the players out, Russell Gage definitely out. Luke, the left guard, out. Lenny is doubtful. Now, I noticed he's got a hip pointer, Leonard Fournette. And I noticed him doing high knees, and it was early in the week. Like they had an early practice on Monday, like they got a bonus practice. And they were practicing. It wasn't like it was a walkthrough because they had the bye and they had the long trip to Germany. But then on Wednesday, he was doing these, like standing there and putting his legs up, his knee high, and then over to the side and doing them kind of fast. Now, Bowles told us, he goes, he's pretty sore still. And then he did more. They had a Thanksgiving Day, Thursday practice. And then on Friday, he said he's getting a lot better. Same thing with Vita Vea with the foot injury. That was funny. He said he's got a foot. And Lee from Joe Buxton got a big kick out of that. He's got a foot. And then we saw him right after that in the locker room. Vita walked right by us. He had the slides, the shower shoes on. And I saw Lee look down at his feet. And it was funny. You know, he's got a foot. Foot injury, we know. We get it. But Vita is questionable. And Lenny is doubtful. We'll see. I'd be surprised if Fournette doesn't go. But anyway, that's the official report. There's only one player for the Browns that's out, their cornerback, Greg Newsome. He is definitely out for this game. I'm going to do my Under the Rock like I said, I was there a couple times this week. I wanted to let you know what's going on. It's kind of like my behind the scenes. I take you inside One Buck What I See. Because a lot of times what I tell you, what I see behind the scenes, that translates sometimes in the game. It's like, oh, okay, I kind of figured that because I saw that at One Buck Place. Now, before I do that, I know you probably are tired of the turkey. My hand is raised. I've eaten enough turkey and the cranberry sauce and the stuffing, and it was great. It was all good, but I'm ready for a burger, and I'm saving it for Burger Monger. That's where I'm going. I'm going right after this podcast. Burger Monger, they got 4 locations in Tampa Bay. If you're here in Tampa Bay or going to visit, they're in Carrollwood, St. Pete, Safety Harbor, and Wesley Chapel. Let me tell you about their burgers. It's over a third pound hand-pressed burger patties, and it's made from a blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef. And what I like about Burger Monger's burgers, they are hand-pressed on the grill, and it comes out just perfect. The flavor, maximum flavor. And you know what, too? They work on putting together the best recipe to make it so delicious. It basically is, what you can do is just ask them for their delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. Give me one of them. Try one of them. I guarantee it's good. They've got a variety of cheeses, the fresh toppings and the sauces, and of course, the craveable sides. The natural cut fries are so good. Sweet potato waffle fries and the house-made hand-battered onion rings. Now, you're going to be thirsty. You got to get the Burger Monger shakes. They're made with all natural hand-scooped ice cream, hand-spun, thick and creamy, and topped with whipped cream. Oh, and also a bunch of toppings on top of that. Oh, and what kind of shake flavors does Burger Monger have, you ask? Very vanilla, simply strawberry. I love the chocolate fudge. That's my favorite. The cookies and cream, Snickers Supreme, or Caramel Crave. And one of their best kept secrets, you're thinking, oh, Burger Monger, so it's only burgers. No, they're amazing chicken sandwiches. It's a larger marinated chicken breast. You can get it grilled, or you can get it fresh breaded, or you can get it even deep fried to order. That's what my wife loves. And now for a limited time, they've got it. It's the Burger Monger LFG Burger. Now, it's basically 2-in-1. You're getting 2-for-1. It's a burger stack with 2 patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, you got the provolone, the applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and that's not all. Finished with a drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing. You know how much this bad boy is with the 2 patties and all that jazz? $12. You go anywhere. You go anywhere for a good burger, you're going to pay $12. So it's Burger Monger. If you haven't tried, I ask you to give it a shot. And I tell you, you're going to love it. I'm hungry now. Enough of the turkey. All right, under the rock. Let's go. It's time to go under the rock. What happened Monday? I wanted to see what the vibe was after coming back from Germany. Beautiful weather. I was focusing on Brady. Now, Brady and the quarterbacks, they practice far, far, far away from us media geeks. That's probably done on purpose. But I zoomed in. And I got to tell you what, I don't know if other NFL teams work as much with their quarterbacks on footwork. They work so much on footwork, you know, boom, 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 boom. Brady all the time. Brady all the time. On the money, arm and shoulder look good. And they're really, I had somebody ask me at Thanksgiving dinner. He was sitting across from me at the table. And he's like, you know, all these quarterbacks in the NFL, is there really that much difference with their arms? And I said, I'm glad you asked that to me, Dominic, because I noticed going from Brady, who's got a great arm still, great, and then to Gabbert, and then to Trask, and even Ryan Griffin, there really isn't that much of a difference. But what it comes down to is, reading the field, making the decisions in a split second. It's so fast. That's where Brady stands out. He's seen everything, and he also studies. He studies opponents, watches so much film. He puts so much effort weekly into it. That's why he's still as good as he is. Now, I'll get into that about with the Sage sitting down with Bruce Arians. From Joe Buck's fan, I love that. And Arians saying, I told you, he calls it like it is. He's like, nobody, everybody's afraid. And Tom wasn't playing well. No, he was. He was off. He was off. And I think it really comes down to in the beginning of the season, and even as we're getting close to that midseason, he wasn't confident in the blocking. And he was just having to get rid of it, even like a millisecond faster than he normally does. And he always, he was number two behind Big Ben. And now that Roethlisberger is retired, he's number one in getting rid of it. And he was getting rid of it even faster. That's throwing him off a little bit. You got to give him that little bit extra, that little bit of time. And they're starting to do that now. And I think that's why he's able to get more into a rhythm. And also because they've been able, now they're starting to run that football. Boy, I hope that continues, because like I said, this Browns rush defense is not good. Not good. Okay? The sports science staff that the Buccaneers have. Now, I found out from somebody that was on that trip. Very interesting. And it's different for the team compared to somebody that works for the Bucs in whatever capacity. And, you know, the players, they just have to play football, okay? They've already done mostly all their work here in the States, and so. But the workers for the Buccaneer organization, they got so many duties when they get over there. They were exhausted, and some weren't able to sleep. The Buccaneers took off. They flew all night, and they got in early in the morning, and then that's when they had to do everything. They headed over. They were able to go to the hotel. It was only for a very short time. And then they just went right to practice. And then there was practices, there was press conference, and then boom, boom, boom. The person that I talked to said he was dead on day number two. And then by the time day number three came, that was game day. All right, he's starting to feel a little bit better. But what the sports science staff did with the with what they gave those guys, how they told them, you know, try to sleep now, don't nap later, get on German time, and they all said the same thing, man. The player, they were like, man, the sports science staff did a great job. Didn't it look like they were energetic? Didn't it look like they were flying around? And the Buccaneers, they did a great job. See, Seattle went over a little bit earlier than the Buccaneers, but now, a lot of the players told me that they were whipped once they got back to the States and they got back to Tampa Bay. Oh my God. This bye week came at such a good time. And then some of the guys that have been nagging injuries, i.e. a Mike Evans, to get this extra week was humongous. So again, there's no excuse other than, okay, it might be some rain and wind and they're not used to that, but for this game. Thursday, when I noticed, when I was there behind the scenes, it's funny. They do stretching. They play the music. They all are as a team. You got one of the strength and conditioning coaches. He's yelling out things for them to do. Now you're backwards, turn, go do this. Boom. They're all lined up. The music is blasting. It's kind of a cool vibe to start the practice. Then, boom, goes to zero. They got a clock running. But they blow the whistle. Now, like the linemen, offensive linemen, go to their group. They're going to start doing drills and working with the O-line coach. D-line over here. DBs here. Quarterbacks are way down. They have blocking dummies. They have all different kinds of things with Clyde Christensen and the quarterbacks. You might have special teams where the punter. Oh, I got to tell you this. Holy shit. And Sage, when he was interviewing Arians, I think I wrote it down. Arians told Sage, like, he's unbelievable. He didn't use those words. He's ridiculous. Like Jake Kamarda. I want to give some credit because that was a draft pick by Jason Light. I know he's taking some heat this year for some of these, but I got to tell you what. Holy shizit. Jake Camarda. I watched his punts when they did special teams, like Scotty Miller, whoever was back there receiving punts. Camarda was booming. Now, I've been at NFL practices going all the way back to when I first started in New Jersey as a reporter, going to Jets, Mark Gastineau, those years. That's how long. Giants with Phil Sims and that those years. I have never seen a punter with a leg like Jake Camarda. Holy crap. He not only is he booming when he hits it, it's like it's coming off the jugs machine. It is so high, and it's a heavy ball. You ever hear a pitcher or a catcher saying he throws a heavy ball? There's guys that can light up the radar gun, but when it hits the mitt, like boom, it's heavy. It's a heavy punt. Like it keeps carrying, and it drifts, and it will go to the right. Where Scotty Miller's trying to catch it, and he's backing up, but he's also got to move, and it's boom, over to like the sideline. I'm like, what a weapon. This guy's incredible. But I'm not going to spend too much time on the punter, but I was really watching, and I'm like, I've never seen anybody with a leg this good. He is good, and he's a nice young guy. He doesn't say much in the locker room. He usually gets dressed quick. He goes by. He's very polite. Just a good young man. What good find. Good find from Jason Light. All right, now let me get a little bit more there. More of my under the rock. This is more from like Wednesday now, okay? This is the heavy practice day. I knew that Russell Gage was not going to be able to play. He missed the last three games because of a hamstring. He was working out totally by himself with a trainer, and he didn't have the jersey on. I'm like, you know what? And it looked like he was okay when he was cutting and things like that. He ain't going to be ready to go. But it seems like every practice for the last couple of weeks, it's Cameron Brate, it's Kyle Rudolph, it's Russell Gage when he's not one-on-one, and it's Julio, and they're all working, and Godwin sometimes with a trainer, like all season long, man. These guys, even Evans, it just shows you they have some type of nagging injury where they don't go with their position groups. And it's the same every single week. The good thing is Julio Jones is getting healthy. I said it on Bucks Kickoff Podcast here on Joe Bucks Fan a couple of weeks ago when he was coming back. He was my key. Still is. And you notice the difference. He's getting more snaps. He's getting targeted. He's a physical presence. He still has it. He's tall. He's lanky. He's the GOAT likes Julio. Julio's going to be a key down the stretch. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to jinx him, but just let's keep watching Julio more and more and more and more. Lenny comes out on Wednesday. He joins the group of Kyle Rudolph and Brate and Julio and Evans and Godwin. And he's always got a smile, man. He's always busting. Very, very happy. They like Lenny. And like I said, I just jotted this down. I just noticed he was doing high knees and more. And he looked pretty good to me. But again, you got to clear with the doctors and also with Bowles on what he sees. So we'll see. We will see. I did not see Bruce Arians Monday. I didn't see him Wednesday at practice. And reading Joe Bucks Fan, some of the excerpts from that interview that Sage sat down with Bruce, Arians is going to start pulling back a little bit more and more. He's not going to be out there as much at every practice. He will be doing film work. He likes studying and doing that. And then he'll report to whoever coach needs him on what he sees. But I'm seeing less and less of Arians now. And you know what? It's funny. I had another older gentleman at Thanksgiving dinner, and he's a huge football guy. And he sat down next to me and he's like, hey, now you're over at the Bucks, right? I said, yes, yes, Lenny. And he says, you know, if they didn't have that win, weren't they going to fire Leftwich and Aaron's was going to come back? He was adamant. I said, no, no, really? I think Arians was going. They were going to bring Arians back. That's not. This is Bowles' team. It's Arians, according to Sage, in that interview, he told Sage he's actually pulling back less and less on the field. But it's just funny when you get fans that really think, and sometimes it's not even close. Now Brady was in a good mood because he was there with his son Jack. And again, this was the day before Thanksgiving. It was kind of neat. And what I noticed when Brady would play catch with his son, he didn't waste overhand throws. He was actually throwing it underhand to him. It wasn't like he was pussyfooting it and Jack can't handle it. Cause Jack is like 15 years old. He's tall. He's kind of that gangly 15-year-old, you know, he doesn't have his man strength yet. You know, you can see it. But it was kind of neat. It was kind of neat to see Brady because, look, he's going through the divorce. And when you got kids and it's the day before Thanksgiving and he was so he was happy to have Jack there. And then Jack threw a pass or two. And I, you know what I noticed? His delivery, it's similar to Brady's. Like the kid really does know how to throw a football. But it's not like I'm saying judging and he's going to be a star. And even Brady said, I want him to have fun. But it was kind of neat to see. And a little something else I'll tell you on my Under the Rock. So we finish what we can see for practice. And then we go in, we sit in the media room, we do whatever we got to do. And then they'll call us to go either for a press conference. And usually it's a press conference. And then, okay, locker room, they'll say like, locker room will be open in 5 minutes. All right, locker room is now open. So they will let us, there's a swipe key, that, a fob, like a key that they have. They'll let us in. Well, I forget who I was talking to. I basically walked in and here comes Alex Guerrero, TB12, and Jack right in front of me coming from the media, not the media, not the media. We're not allowed in there, but the dining hall. And it, I just happened to look down and there was Guerrero's plate and Jack's plate. I think they even had turkey because it was the day before. And it looked exactly like Guerrero's plate. Very healthy, the vegetables and everything. And I went into the locker room and I saw a camera guy for Fox 13, Jeff Tewksbury. He's been around a long time. And I told him about, and he goes, isn't that funny? That kid, Jack, is going to be eating so healthy, so nutritious. You know, it was interesting. And Alex Guerrero's taken Jack under his wing because Jack is in the facility. And again, but it was kind of neat, kind of neat. And Guerrero is there 24/7 or pretty close to that. Devin White, we had a chance. You know, I don't even know if I posted much from the interview of Devin White. But a lot of the questions were about the bye week. He said it was the worst week of his life. He had to put his father in the ground. But he knows his faith. He leans on that. He said he reads scripture every morning, and he just looks to me like he is really 100% like focused on football. Like football is his outlet now. And that thing about Warren Sapp showing the play, you know, he loafed. He knew he was loafing, and it wasn't many plays because Bowles told us, he goes, I've never had it. We really didn't have a problem with Devin. You guys are judging him on like one or two plays that was magnified by Sapp. But you know what? I think that was actually good because it lit a fire under Devin White. And Devin White himself said, he said it made him realize that not everybody that plays this game makes it to the NFL. And he was taking it for granted. And he actually apologized behind the scenes to his teammates. And ever since then, he has been playing lights out. And when he was asked about this Browns rushing attack, he's like, 15 tackles. I said over to one of his, his teammate, linebacker, he's like, I said, this is a 15-tackle game. I think he is going to be loaded for bear, and this is his only outlet because it has been rough with his father and the whole deal. And so he is just, he is 100% on board, man, and committed. And you know he physically is very, very talented and in great shape and strong and young. And look for a big game, man, from Devin White. Thanksgiving, they had the early practice. Brady sat out. That was a veteran day. And once again, I mean, they're feeling good. They're feeling good, but they know who they are. 500 team, and they've got it all in front of them. All right? It doesn't matter when you get in the playoffs. If you win the NFC South, the Bucs will get a home playoff game at Raymond James Stadium. You win that, you're feeling good. Anything can happen. So, and this is a pretty, they better win this game, man. They better win this game. All right, time to get some keys. Let me show you my matchups. I've been studying both of these teams. All right, I am going to start this game here in Cleveland. I'm going to start, and especially because we may see a little rain. It's going to be windy in the 50s and stuff. The run game. Rashad White. I asked Tom Brady about Rashad White this week because Tom told us Rashad White, the way he carries himself in the facility, it's almost like a quarterback. He's never seen in all of his years a running back, a young running back, do as much studying. Rashad White has been carrying around since he got here a notepad. He writes everything down. He came from a tough, tough upbringing. He said he's very thankful to be playing the game that he loves on this Thanksgiving holiday. And he just takes it one by one. He, you know, and so, and Brady said yes, but he's got to keep doing it. And the same thing, because Rashad White told us, he's like, look, man, we're going to need Lenny and we're going to need Sneak. That's Keyshawn Vaughn. Giovanni Bernard is coming back into the picture. You need everybody, man. You need everybody to contribute. There's going to be injuries and some guys are going to have off days. So he's got a good head on his shoulders for a kid, but he's good. He's good. And Brady said, when I asked him, he goes, he's good running and catching it. Like sometimes you get some running backs that are really good in the backfield. They can run, but their hands of stone. No. So this is what I want to see. I want to see more good from Rashad White in this game going up against that Browns defense. Now, the Browns rush defense is very, very bad. Okay, let me give you an example. Against the Chargers and the Dolphins and the Bills, those are top passing attacks. You agree, right? Justin Herbert and the Chargers, Tua and the Dolphins, Josh Allen and the Bills. All three of those teams, when they went up against the Browns, they all decided to run it. And all three teams beat the Browns. You know, and I know in Cleveland, man, and on talk radio, there's a big uproar. The fans want the D coordinator, Joe Woods, to be fired. They think he's not doing a good job. But the bottom line is Rashad White, and if Lenny's going to contribute or Sneak, you're going up against a bad Browns rushing defense. So take it to him. Take it to him and rush blocking. You've been doing better. Let's go in the trenches. That's where the game is always won or lost. Let's start on the defense. Now, Vita is questionable with the foot. Akeem Hicks, since he has come back. But it's been Akeem Hicks helping out Vita. Akeem Hicks is going to go up against an all-pro guard, Joe Bitonio. All right? He's very, very good. Their center on the offensive line, Ethan. Boom. He was supposed to be the backup to Harris. And then this Froholt stepped in. He was out early in the week on Wednesday. Froholt has only played really one game. That was last week at center against the Bills. So, you know, other than that, they have some good all pros on that line, but their center position is weak. So if Vita's able to go or Akeem Hicks, Hopefully Akeem Hicks will keep continuing to play better and better and better and better. Vita has 6.5 sacks through 10 games. Third in the NFL for interior linemen. It's a season high already for Vita Vea. Now, on the offensive side of the line for the Buccaneers, my matchups, defense, the trenches, Donovan Smith. He's going up against Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett. Now, Donovan Smith said it's been about we're knowing each other. We're knowing each other on the O-line. That's why we're playing better and better. Brady was not sacked. He was only hit one time in that game in Munich. Averaged the season high 2.78 seconds to get rid of the ball. That was what he was averaging against the Seahawks in Germany. 2.78 seconds. Snap to throw. That's even higher than he's been getting all year. So Brady is feeling good. They're giving him the time, and now he's even seeing the field, and boom, 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 boom. Myles Garrett, I know he sat on the end of the bench for a long time after that Bills game, and he was really, really down, man. He says he can't believe with the talent they had that they lost that freaking game. But Myles Garrett, in his prime, 16 sacks last year. He leads the Browns with 8.5. He is so stinking quick off the line. 40 QB pressures. He averages 4 QB pressures a game. So this is a big, big step up. Big chance for Donovan Smith. And Brady. Brady, like I said, with the more time on pace. Here's the thing, Brady. Oh, my God. They got it. You know, you can't. All right, let me just flat out tell you. Brady is on pace right now for the NFL single season record for passing attempts and the single season record for completions. But you know what? And Brady was amazing when he broke it all down. I don't know if you saw any of his press conference on Thursday. He was like, basically it's like the 400 yards, however you get it. If you're rushing this much, then you don't have to get as many passing. If you can't run it, you got to get this much passing and you get it around. But bottom line is the Buccaneers rushed in this last win, which I thought it was their best game. They rushed for 161 against the Seahawks. Brady only threw 29 passes. That's a recipe to win. It isn't to throw it 50 times. Okay? Brady with his wide receivers and his weapons. All right, let's break this one down. Evans, the week off, like I said, that rest with his foot, that's huge. Godwin needs all the recovery time continuing that he can get. Julio Jones is going to be going up in this game against the Browns cornerback Denzel Ward. Look, this Denzel Ward's a Pro Bowler. They list him at 5'11", but he is very good against big wide receivers. And that would be Julio Jones. Julio Jones last week, that 31-yard catch and run. He also plowed over a defender at the goal line. Remember that? Julio's 2 touchdowns last 3 games. Julio Jones is averaging 16.2 yards per catch. That's better than his career average. All those years with the Falcons when he was younger, he was averaging 15 yards per catch. So Julio's my guy. Brate has come back now. Kate Otten is getting better and better as a rookie each game. You may even have Gio Bernard. So this is it. The Buccaneers are getting healthier. And Arians even mentioned that. All right, what about the Buccaneers' rush defense against this vaunted Cleveland Browns running attack? It's Nick Chubb. And it's Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb is close to 1,000 yards. He's got 11 touchdowns. He's averaging, I think, just a shade over 5 yards per carry. That's right around his average. Kareem Hunt, 346, 3 touchdowns, 3.9 yards per carry. Jacoby Brissett can run it as well. 45 carries, 211 yards, 1 touchdown. Like I told you, the Browns' center position is a big weakling, question mark. But they got all pro guards and Teller and Joel, and they're all pro right tackle, Jack Conlon. So it's a decent offensive line. And they've been good, other than Chubb in this last game. All right, so the Buccaneer rush defense, you got to come through. Also, another key for me is going to be, you know, the Browns, their weapons, a lot is made, and rightfully so, Amari Cooper, QB1, Donovan Peoples, number two. But a lot of Brissett, there's a lot of underneath with David Bell. He is like the Browns slot receiver. So that's going to be the responsibility of Sean Murphy Bunting. Now, last week in Germany against the Seahawks, they used Murphy Bunting in the slot an awful lot. Anton Winfield really stayed at safety. So Sean Murphy Bunting, need you to have a good game. All right, let me get a little bit more into the Cleveland Browns. And did I tell you? I don't know if I said it yet. Brady told us. Leftwich told the whole offense, we got 7 games to go. We got this many practices. 7 games. Here's how many practices. I thought that was telling. That was actually pretty good. Like, get it in their minds. It's not like, okay, it's another week. Oh, we got it. Okay, we had our week off. Okay, we got a practice. We got an extra practice on Monday. Oh, okay. We don't practice on Tuesday. Oh, yeah, we come in on Wednesday. Yeah, we get the game plan. Yeah, Thursday. Okay, we'll have a short one Friday and blah, blah, blah. We're going to travel Saturday. No. Like, look, here's where we are in the season. We only got 7 games to go. Suck it up. Let's go. Go. So we're getting down now to the nitty gritty. And for Cleveland, this is it. You lose this and that's it. You start getting your golf reservations, man, and get ready to go back to your families or wherever you're living. It's over. It's over. This is it. Now, Myles Garrett, after this loss to the Bills, remember the Bills pulled it out last week, man. And then the Bills stayed because they were going to play the Lions on Thanksgiving, so they just stayed there. But Myles Garrett was sitting on the bench for a while at Ford Field and just sitting there after that loss to the Bills. And one of the reporters that covers the Cleveland Browns went and asked him, what do you make of this? And Myles Garrett, quote, I'm disappointed. We're too good of a team to have this record that we have. A lot of emotions right now. We're letting it slip away. So that was Myles Garrett. And again, you can't take too much. All the years that I've been doing this, all the years that I was in TV, and I would go into an edit bay, and I would actually look at responses after a game or during the week on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And the tone, when they would say sentences, they were always talking a little bit faster, even after a game. They're still running on adrenaline, man. They just played their hearts out in an NFL game, and emotions are still high. And so Myles Garrett was like, God dang it. We're talented. Look where we are. 3 freaking wins. But again, you start getting back in the mode, start looking at film, start feeling better later in the week, and then things start making more sense. So again, that was right after the game. But for Cleveland, Myles Garrett is in his prime, and he must know, like, wow, I'm wasting my prime. Nick Chubb, Denzel Ward, these guys are also in their prime. Even before the game, Myles Garrett called the Bills game a must-win. And they did not win. The Browns have had 1 win in 2 months. They were dominating the Bills in the first half. The Browns' pass rush was putting pressure on Josh Allen. Jacoby Brissett was clicking in the first half. And once again, this is going to be Brissett's final start because it's going to be the Deshaun Watson game. Deshaun Watson's team, man. From here on out. So he's going to be loaded for bear in this bad boy. All right. What I'm going to do is I got a few more things here. But one more time, I got to tell you about Burger Monger, guys. If you haven't been to a Burger Monger, you've got to check it out. Their hamburgers are the best. They're the best. hand-pressed. It's a perfect blend of ground chuck and sirloin beef. And it's just, the flavor is just, they do it right. You know, and you can craft your own burger from a variety of cheeses, fresh toppings, sauces, or even maybe one of their delicious house-crafted recipe burgers. Burger Monger shakes are, they should get more credit. I'm giving them credit. They're made with all-natural, hand-scooped ice cream, old school, hand-spun. It's thick. They're creamy, topped with whipped cream and a whole bunch of toppings. Their flavors, six classic Burger Monger shake flavors. Very vanilla, Snickers Supreme, Caramel Crave, Chocolate Fudge, Cookies and Cream, Simply Strawberry. And one of the best kept secrets at Burger Monger is their chicken sandwiches. You can get them grilled or fresh breaded or deep fried to order. And they're big and they're marinated. Oh, and then the sides. Oh, natural cut fries, or the house-made hand-battered onion rings, or the waffle fries, or the sweet potato waffle fries. Oh, man. I'm heading there now. And for a limited time, they still have their LFG burger. It's basically two for one. It is a burger stack with two patties, 12 ounces of beef, chopped lettuce, provolone, applewood smoked bacon, fresh avocado slices, and that's not all. A drizzle of peppercorn ranch dressing, and it is a winner. LFG Burger, Burger Monger, for just $12. So you gots to check it out. I talked to one of the Joes, Lee, who was in Munich, and said it was really something else. I talked to several that were on the trip, both as fans, working for the Buccaneers, those that have been over there across the pond for games in London. I said Munich blew it away. Blew it away. And wasn't it nice? You know, you got to get up early. That day seemed so long. It seemed like a long day. But I know at Big Storm Brewing, it was packed. And Sage was there. And the reports that I got, it was just great. It was great. 9:30 in the morning here. But those that were there thought that it was really, really neat. And how about Brady, who wants that, you know, country road, came down to the place I belong, West Virginia. He wants Buccaneer fans to start singing this. How about doing this? Now, Lee told me that he found out that they sing that over in Germany in the bars like a last call. So it wasn't like it was new to them. That's kind of like that. You know, when it's last call, I always hated last call. Ooh, they turn the lights on. You're talking to this girl. Ooh, everybody looks bad, you know. Last call, ooh. It was a neat experience. Even for watching it at 9:30 in the morning, starting off your Sunday, and the fact that the Buccaneers played so, so well. Brady said it was one of the great football experiences that he ever had. And he said that says a lot for 23 years in the league, all the big games that he had. But Brady, 2 touchdown passes. He's undefeated in international games, 2 in London, 1 in Mexico. Julio Jones, that 31-yard crossing route. Godwin, 19-yard touchdown. Rashad White, 22 carries, 105. Lenny just got his passport. Did you know that? He barely made it to Germany. And I'll tell you this too. My passport has also expired. So here's a tip for you guys. If you have, check your passport. Maybe you don't even know. Ever since the damn pandemic, it takes a long time to get your passport. So if you're thinking about going on a trip outside of this country, you better get your passport. But anyway, Lenny, somehow he got it at the last minute. He got the hit pointer, 14 carries, 57 yards. Brady threw his first pick since opening day. 399 straight passes. But it was balanced attack. It was three long scoring drives. How about this? On third down, the Buccaneers were 10 of 15 on third down. Devin White was NFC Defensive Player of the Week. He's lights out now. After Sapp called him out, he apologized. He realizes he was taking it for granted. Now, after having his father die, and his father was only in his 40s. Do you see that? And he even told the team, you know, after the game when Bowles was giving this speech, he's like, there was no other guys I'd rather be around than you all. That's what Devin White said. Like that, this is how he's coping, man. This is how his outlet, playing football. So Devin White, good. The Buccaneers defense held the Seahawks. Rookie running back Kenneth Walker, you know, they did a good job on him. Joe Tryon, Shoyinka had a sack. Yeah, they were singing the Sweet Caroline and Country Roads. So we'll see if that's going to be a thing. I just wanted to finish up here. Yep, we're already got 50 minutes in. So the GOAT on his Let's Go podcast, time to decompress, the week that they had off. But he also said, let's not lose focus on our goal. We know of our strengths, our limitations, but do we become more efficient going forward? Brady said he got treatment, he rested his body, and deep film study. That does not surprise me at all. Also, he's by himself when he doesn't have the kids because Giselle's living in Miami. You see, she moved in and all that. I'm not going to go the TMZ route. I know you guys just want the... You're here for Joe Bucks fan, for the game plan. But, you know, Brady is just... He's got time, man. He can study as much film and as many hours as he wants, and that's what he is doing. Brady even did say on his Let's Go podcast, basically, it was the best that we played all year. Oh, that trick play, that Lenny passing to Brady. I was told. Brady called it. Brady wanted it. Brady said, Brady has a good sense of humor too. He goes, that Philly special was not very special. No, it was not, because he slipped. Brady told Peter King. Peter King is the longtime NFL reporter, legendary. He's been around a long time. He was there at the game. I guess he talked to Brady a little bit after. And King told Brady, as if the GOAT didn't know, that the Buccaneers had their three longest scoring drives of the season. Each touchdown drive was 85 yards or more. Look, here's a quote from Brady. When you run it well, you don't have to be in drop back protection all day. It puts too much stress on the passing game. You become one dimensional. And that is the key. Look, I don't expect them to have a darn near almost perfect game like they did in Munich. But you know what? That's that one thing that's sticking out to me when I was in that media room listening to the GOAT. And he doesn't give you much. He says a lot of basic stuff that's not going to be bulletin board material. You know, we got to run better. We got to catch it. We got to play defense. We got to be better on third down. Like all basic stuff that we know. But that one thing that he mentioned, that kind of stuck with me. He said, 12 games in, you kind of know. You know now. Because it used to be we're trying to find our identity. We're still not there. We know who we are. We know our strengths and our weaknesses. And let's build on our strengths. And some teams get worse and other teams get better. Who are the Buccaneers going to be? That's what I'm looking forward to seeing in this game. I can't wait. I want to thank you guys for listening to this Bucks Kickoff podcast. Always at least 24 hours before every kickoff, sometimes like 36 hours before every kickoff. I'm at One Buck Place. I'm there for you. I want to bring you the best because everybody can get information off the internet. Okay, it's readily available. Everybody can do that. But I want to bring you be in there. I want to be there. I want to be there for you guys. So thank you for listening. Thank you to the baddest, best, badass Buccaneer website in the world, joebucksfan.com, with another edition of Bucks Kickoff. Bucks, Browns in Cleveland, going to be nasty weather. That's football weather. All right? Let's do it.